Today's daf is daf Chof Aleph in Masechet Shvuot. We're holding the third perek discussing Shvuot Shtayim Shein Arba. And we're right in smack bang in the middle of a discussion to try to understand the various Isurin on Shvuot, what fits where. So remember that we need to discuss three different issues. One is the Shvuah that is mentioned Beferush in the Torah in the Parsha Karban Olah V'Yoreid. And that is a very specific type of Shvuah, where it says, Lahara Aleitev, somebody is committing himself to doing himself good or doing himself harm. And over there we have that Chiyav of Korban Olah V'Yoreid. Now that is clearly talking about the future, a commitment to do something for himself, do something against himself. I will eat, I won't eat, as the case may be. There was a machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, and we've been talking in our Mishnah, Libra Rabbi Akiva, who holds that those two are actually expanded, and we'll see where we know that from later, are actually expanded to include two additional shvuas that are similar in a very vague way to Lahara Aleitev, namely that in the same way a shvuah la'atid can talk about something good for me and something bad for me, so too can something in the past talk about I did something that had been good, or I did something. So in other words, I did eat, I ate the chocolate cake, I didn't eat it, I can't believe I ate it all, whatever the case may be. But that's also included Alibid Rabbi Akiva. The question is, when you say included Alibid Rabbi Akiva, is it included in the Isur of what sheker? Is that a lie? If I say I ate something and I didn't really eat it, is that considered to be a shvuat sheker? And the understanding of it, and what chiyav is there on not keeping? What lav is there when you don't keep a commitment to the future, which has nothing to do with a lie? At the time it said it wasn't a lie. So lo tishavu b'shmi la sheker. What does that mean? I'm saying I'm committing myself to eating. You're telling me when I said that I lied? I didn't lie. I was committing myself to eating. I didn't do it. So maybe that's not called la shaker. Maybe that would be called lo yachel devaro. If you're going to do that, then you better keep your word. Don't be mechavel your word and turn your own commitments into meaninglessness. That definitely applies, you'll recall, says Tosafot. The question is that the only thing that applies? Because shaker doesn't really match that very well. And then sheker would be referring to a lie about the past. And then the meaning in the pasuk that says, Lo tisa shema Hashem Elokecha lashav, ki lo yinakeh Hashem, lashav, twice. So that lashav would be dafka talking about a type of shua which is trying to change something that everybody knows isn't true. Where you're not fooling anybody any of the time.
As it comes out of your mouth.
So you're saying it on the spot, it's absolute hevel. You're trying to swear that something that is made out of a rock is actually solid gold. I mean, anybody listening to you says the guy's out of his mind. He's just using the Shem Hashem for absolute nonsense. And that's a different type of shvua about facts, where there's nothing to discuss. The fact is not up for discussion. That's the only difference between the Lasheker and the Lashav. That's certainly one possibility. According to Rav Dimi, we said, Ochal velo ochal, the future, is indeed Sheker. Achalti velo achalti is actually Shav. So that according to him, we have a different lineup. According to him, Lashaker doesn't mean when you swore with my name, it was a lie. But don't swear with my name to then not keep it, so that it shall turn out to be a false commitment. Rather, keep your commitment. So if you don't keep your commitment, you'd be over it. Then that would mean you'd be over on two things. Lo yachel devaro, and you swore la shaker. One represents your part of the action. This is your word. Don't be machal your word. The other iser is, this is my name. Don't use my name la shaker. Fine. Then that would mean that the past, there's no difference between something that is obviously a lie and something that is actually a lie, because obvious and not obvious is just a matter of subjectivity. But in terms of the objective information, what's the difference? You swore about something where the information simply was not true. Who cares whether it's obviously not true or it just isn't true? That's all called Lashav. That's just using God's name on something that, as you said, it was ridiculous. It wasn't true. Then that would mean that La Shaker would only be limited to Liatit. So that was the question we had yesterday. We were discussing now the way that Ravin quoted now, Rav Dimi quoted Rabbi Yochanan, that indeed Shaker is La'atid, La'avar is the Shav and only La'shav. And we had asked from a very interesting halacha, and that halacha claimed that Beferish Ripta Torah Sheker Dumi La'shav. The Torah was adding Shav to be Sheker, Sheker to be Shav. We ended up saying that it's as if Zachor v'Shamor were set together, so too were Sheker and Shav set together. We even had that beautiful explanation of the Ritva based on the Rimigash, that it's all understood to be a consequence of the two Luchot, using one of them using the word Shaker for Edut Shaker, and the other one using the word Shav for exactly the same parallel pasuk, Edut Shav. Is that the same thing? Apparently, B'dibur Echad Nemru. Once we saw that, we assumed, well, okay, so then that means that indeed, Sheker is Shav, meaning that Sheker is L'Sha'avar. If Sheker is L'Sha'avar, that was the first way we had to understand it. La'atid is only Lo'yachil Dvaro. L'Sha'avar, where people may believe you for a while, you can fool some of the people some of the time, so then that would be Sheker, and where it's clearly a absolute nonsense, that would be Shav. That was our kasha on Rav Dimi Yom Rav Yochanan. We ended up giving an explanation that the only real meaning of Sheker and Shav's comparison were not that they were both the Shavar, according to Rav Dimi, but rather to teach me that there is a Malkut on Shvuat Shav. So that the comparison is only to tell me, just like it's possible to get Malkut on a Shvuat Sheker, so too it's possible to get Malkut on Shav. And in the end, we learned this out from Lo Yinake Hashem, as we're going to see. Hashem won't be Menake, but Beidin will be Menake. Today we want to see if there's an alternative to that. Because certainly Rav Papa, he disagreed with that. He said maybe it means Lo Yinake at all. Iba Edema, Kishem Shemevi Korban HaSheker. Maybe it's not referring to Malkus at all. Maybe it's coming to tell me that when the Torah compares Shav and Sheker, and says now, B'dibur Echad Nemru, maybe the idea over there is to teach me not about Malkus at all, but rather about Korban. In the same way that the Torah describes the Chiev of the Korban Olav Yored on the Shva Sheker, and that's Beferich, Shukashem Shemevi Sheker, Korban Allah Sheker, Kach Mevi, Mevi Korban Al Shav. Now how could that be? The Sheker L'Chora is a reference to something in the future, which is a commitment. Shav is a completely different type of shvua. So how would that be true? Unless, of course, you're referring to a shvua sheker, which is l'sha'avar. But remember, according to Rabbi Yishmael, there is no shvua sheker l'sha'avar. He doesn't have that ribui. And we had to say that our mishnah hot shnayim shein arba is only going to leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Indeed, it would be Rabbi Akiva he. The meaning of the statement that Sheker and Shav B'dibur Echad Nemru would be Alib Rabbi Akiva, who holds that a Shvuat Sheker is Chayev L'Sha'avar K'Shela Haba, which means that there's a Chayev of Korban. So just like there's a Korban on a Shvuat Sheker L'Sha'avar, so too is there a Korban on a Shvuat Shav L'Sha'avar. So far, we've been able to support the statement of Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. And again, that statement has it, that Ochal, the Lo Ochal, is in fact considered to be Shvua Sheker. Lo Shishavu Bishmi, La Sheker. Not as a Sheker when you say it, but to be a Sheker. Okay? Is that true though? Meitve. Let's see whether that is correct from the Mishnah. Ezohi Shavuat Shav. What is considered to be a Shvua Shav? Nishba l'shanot et hayadu'a la'adam. You want to claim that something that is obviously not so is otherwise, which nobody takes seriously. You could swear up and down on your mother's life, and nobody is going to believe you that this rock is actually made out of diamond, or it's gold, or whatever. Shvua sheker, that's different. That's nishba l'achlif. You want to persuade somebody that you ate the chocolate cake when you hadn't eaten the chocolate cake. Nobody knows. So there, although it's a lie, it's not an obvious lie. Now, that is saying that Shvuat Sheker is L'Sha'avar. But Rav Dimi said that Rav Yochanan understood Shvuat Sheker to be a reference dafka to the future. La Sheker, not Shvuat Sheker that is similar to Shav. And over here, the Mishnah is making this subtle distinction between them. Both of them are focused to the past, namely, their Shvuas about information rather than about commitments, except that one is obviously wrong and one is only objectively wrong. Now, how do you explain that? Well, Rav Dimi on Rav Yochanan will have to read that a little differently. Not Nishba Liha Khalif, but rather Nishba Uma Khalif. He swears to do something, and then he doesn't do it. So we got mixed up between Nishba about the past, to lie about it, when what he was really saying is Nishba about the future, and then not keeping his word, which is exactly what Rav Dimi on Rav Yochanan said. So far, so good. Now, that's Rav Dimi's approach in Rav Yochanan. And as usual, it turns out that we have an alternative approach in Rav Yochanan Gufa. Ki ata Ravin, as opposed to Rav Dimi, when Ravin came, he said that he heard from Rav Yirmiyahu, heard from Rav Abahu, that what Rav Yochanan actually said was, achalti velo achalti is sheker, not shav. And the azara about a shvua l'shanot l'sha'avar, on something that is not obviously a lie, but is a lie, is included in the Isser of Lotishav Ubishmi Lashaker. And that means in the past. When you made the statement, it was a lie. Not that it could become a lie in the future. And therefore, you would be over on Be'avar only on Shvuat, on the Lotishavu. But if you were made a neder, a Shvuat, to do something, you said, I will eat the chocolate cake. And you don't eat the chocolate cake, you are not over, actually, on this Isser at all, because that's a completely different type of Shvuat. Rather, what you would be over is on Lo Yachel Devaro. You made a commitment, you didn't keep your commitment, you're treating your word as being meaningless. And what is Shvuat Shav? Ezoi Shvuat Shav. Nishba l'shanot et hayadu'a la'adam. So here we have Rabbi Yochanan himself being quoted as taking on the opposite approach. Okay, so let's focus on what we know and on what is up for grabs in Rabbi Yochanan. We know two things. We know that l'shav is definitely includes a case where you're trying to say something nonsensical. You're saying something that everybody knows as you say it is not the case. That's a given. We also know that if you make a commitment for the future, it's a given that you're going to be over on Lo Yachel Devoro. That's a given. The thing that's up for grabs over here, in the two approaches, Rav Dimi's approach and Rabin's approach, in Rabbi Yochanan, is what is the meaning of the Pasuk of Lo Tishavu Bishmi Lashaker? Is that the case where you're being nishpa to the future? La Shaker, and then you end up not keeping your word, which involves God's name, or, so, and where would that leave a lie, saying that something happened that didn't happen? It would leave a lie as being included in La Shav, because information that is not true is Shav. That's all. What's the difference? How not true it is. There's no differences in how not true. That's one approach. That's Ravin's approach. The original approach that Rav Dimi claimed is that, no, actually, La Shaker would be, what did I just say? Which one did I just say?
You said it would be La Shav if I lied.
I would be La Shav if I lied. That's that approach. I said that you'd be over on La Shav and La Shaker would be in the future, the Dafka. The other approach is that actually there are two different cases of La Shavah. That if you lie about the past, and that's Yachalti v'lo achalti, that's where you're over on Lashaker. The difference between that past and Lashav is only how not true it is. And as far as the Shvua in the future is concerned, you're left with only the Chiyav of Lo Yachel Devora. So there's really only one point over here that's oscillating in the Tushitot, and that is that one possible Shavu Bishvi Lashaker, which changes the way we'd have to understand Shav, of course, in consequence to this halacha. But the real focus is on what is the meaning of Lashaker. When you said it, it's a lie, or you would treat it in a way that would allow it to become a lie. Now, sheker, of course, doesn't mean lie in Hebrew, right? And in English, it's weird to say to lie, and then to mean that you didn't do what you committed yourself to do. That we don't call that really a lie. You said you were going to do it, and you lied in the broadest sense, but you didn't really lie in the technical sense. The idea of sheker is untruth. Truth is something that is. It's correct, and it goes through past, future, and so on. It's true. If it isn't true, at some point, that's sheker. But that's falsity in the world. It has something to do with the lie that you make when you say something. In English, that's much more limited, the concept of lie. Falseness would be the closest thing you would get. This is falseness. So somebody can make a commitment, not keep it. That's just falsity. All right, so that would be the meaning of lashaka. Good. Now, if that's the case, so now we have a machloket in what Rabbi Yochanan had said. Amar Rav Papa, I just want you to know something. We're making it appear that Rav Dimi had heard from, that Ravin had heard from Rabbi Yirmiya directly, having heard Rabbi Yochanan saying that it must be that Lashaker includes Achalti v'lo Achalti. But that's not really true. Actually, Ravin heard what implied to him that this is how Rabbi Yirmiya understood Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Avohu, actually, I mean, he quotes over here, Rabbi Amram, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Gibbon, what really happened was as follows. The Omer of Idi Baravin, Omer of Amram, Omer of Yitzchak, Omer of Yochanan, they were having a discussion, not specifically about this issue, and when Rabbi Avu claims that he heard when Ravin claims he heard from Rabbi Yirmiya, who heard from Rabbi Avu, this is what he really heard. It was this discussion. They were talking about Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili, a general rule. Kol lo ta'aseh shebat Torah. The rule is this. When you have an Isur Lav, so if it's a Lav Shiyesh Bo Ma'aseh, if there's an act involved in being over this Lav, lo kina Lav, then you'll get Malkut. She'im Bo Ma'aseh, but if there's no action involved, ein lo kina lav. The only exclusions from this rule is a nijba, somebody who swears, and he can swear, and then even if he doesn't do a maisa, he'd still be chayiv. A meimar, which is someone who makes a tumura, so all he did was talk. So he says, this animal shall be the tumura of that animal. Well, I mean, all he did was talk. Nonetheless, the Torah says, but the Pharisee is going to be chayiv. Now, the reason that we say he's chayiv in that case is because he achieves the equivalent of an action in his speech. He turned this animal into hekdesh. And the only other case would be mekalel et chaveiro b'shem. He uses the shem Hashem to be mekalel, which also we learn out specifically from v'hifla Hashem et makotecha. Hifla hafla'azo means malchus, as we saw, that lashon is the plilim by malkot, and therefore the Torah says beferish that mekalel is chayiv. How do we know nishba? And here is where we're going to get into our problem. Nishba minola, Omer Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Omer akra lo tisa Hashem Hashem lokecha lashav ki lo yinake. Lo yinake means beidin shel mala. Are ein menakinoto. Avo beidin shel mata, malkinoto menakinoto. So we see from here that a nishba, meaning on a shvua shav, is going to get malchus. Omale Rav Papa la Abaye. Now all of this is part of where we derive our understanding in Rav Yochanan. Omale Rav Papa la Abaye. Maybe the Torah is saying lo yinake as lo yinake. In other words, this person shall never be cleansed of his sin. So that there's no malchus that could cleanse it. Klal says now Abaye to Rav Papa, had it said lo yinake, then that would have meant what you're saying. So if it would have said iktiv ki lo yinake gedeka ame, but it doesn't say that. It uses instead the transitive form. It uses ki lo yinake Hashem. God will not cleanse you. Why is it saying that? It means to say God will not cleanse you. In other words, the Beit Din Shel Mala will find no opening for you, not to punish you for this. But it's only Hashem Odeinu Menakeh. Avo Beit Din Shel Mata, Malkinoto Menakinoto. Okay, so far, this has nothing to do with our sugya. But continues now this same Ma'amar that Rabbi Yochanan was analyzing here in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So we said Nishba Minala, and Rabbi Yochanan is now quoting Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So here, all of a sudden, asks now the Gemara, or asks the Talmidim to Rabbi Yochanan, that's all very nice when it comes to Shvuat Shav, because that's where you're being medayik it from. Lo yinake Hashem, specifically what case? Et asher yisa et shmo lashav. But how do we know a Shvuat Shaker will also get Malkus? Shvuat Sheker Minolam comes along Rabbi Yochanan and on his own, Didei, not in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is until now what he said. Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar. Since that pasuk repeats Lashav twice, Lo tisa et shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. Ki lo yinake Hashem et asher yisa et shmo Lashav. What do you have to say, asher yisa et shmo Lashav? Contextually, it's clear that the end of the pasuk is referring to the beginning of the pasuk, correct? So what do I need that extra lashav? I'll tell you, said Rabbi Yochanan on his own. So that actually is where we learn out from the same pasuk, but from the extra word, that it also includes shvuat shaker. So far, so good, but nothing to do with what you just said. Ah, now here's where we get to what's interesting to us. It's Rabbi Avohu who claimed that Rabbi Yirmiyah had heard from Rabbi Yochanan that the way to understand La Shaker was that it was in the past, right? Okay, now let's see how we now understand that we derived that. And here's how it goes. Rabbi Avohu said about that statement of Rabbi Yochanan, gosh, when Rabbi Yochanan said Shvuat Shaker, there's a number of different ways of understanding what Shvuat Shaker means. Because after all, Shvuat Shaker may mean, the way Rav Dini said, that a Shvua Lehaba is the Shvuat Shaker. And it's on that Shvua that you get Malkus. And that's what I learned out from Lashav Shtei Pamim, correct? Okay. So now I want to know, Hechidami, what is the reference? Ilema Shvua Shalo Ochal is the reference to a commitment not to eat, and you go ahead and you eat. I don't need a pasuk for that, nor is this possibly a reference to the unique case that doesn't follow the rule of a lav she'en bo maaseh, because, my dear friends, if I said I won't eat and I did eat, then I did a maaseh. It's ridiculous. That's not the case. That's a lav like any other lav, yesh bo maaseh, and why would I view that as an exclusion for which I need a pasuk? It's neither an exclusion, nor do I need a pasuk.
Also because of the boyachel?
No, he's talking about Shvuat Sheker. So what would that mean? Ilei meshvuat shelo ochal v'chal. That's lav sheyesh bo maaseh. Ela diyoma shvuat sheochal. So maybe the case is, I will eat. I will eat, and he doesn't eat. And that's what it's coming to say. That Shvuat Sheker, we learn it out from Lashav, shtei pa'amim. But the problem is that you're trying to learn that in Rabbi Yochanan. So let's try this again. Hello. I'll try my most enticing voice. Gentlemen, we're trying to show that Aliva de Rabbi Akiva, the meaning of a Shvuat Sheker has got to be L'sha'avar. And here's where we figured it out. Because since Rabbi Yochanan, all on his own, darshened for himself, he said, gosh, it must be, since it says Lashav Shtei Pamim, that's coming to include a Shvuat Sheker. Rabbi Avohu, who was quoted by Rabbi, as claiming that Rabbi Yochanan has got to be talking about Shvuat Sheker, L'sha'avar, made the following analysis. When Rabbi Yochanan is adding, with the additional Lashav Shvuat Sheker, tell me, what is he adding? Is he adding a Shvuat Sheker that said, I won't eat and did eat? No. Because that case is a lav sheyesh bo maaseh. Is he adding the case of saying, I will eat and he doesn't eat, and that is passive and therefore requires a pasuk to tell me that in this special case, when you lied, it's not a typical lie because it's referring to a commitment for the future, when you don't keep your commitment passively, you're going to get malchus. Well, it might have meant that, except for the unfortunate fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds it in that case, you don't get malchus. So it can't mean that. Therefore, concluded Rabbi Avohu, it's got to mean Shvuat Sheker L'Sha'avar. Now, obviously, that means that a libra Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Tishavu B'Shmi L'Shaker, is referring to the past, not to the future. Similar to Lashav, but not included in Lashav, which is the exact opposite of how Rabbini understood Rabbi Yochanan. So all we're saying is Rabbi Yochanan himself never said those words. He never said those words, but it was obvious from the analysis that Rabbi Abbahu made of Rabbi Yochanan, that that must be what it is that Rabbi Abbahu holds Rabbi Yochanan is holding. Let's see that inside now. The Elar, you're trying to say that the case is the Omer Shvua Sha'ochal V'lo Achal. And that passive Shvua gets Malkus, but it doesn't get Malkus. It's Rabbi Yochanan himself who holds that there's no Malkus in that case. Haimi Eloka. Via Itmar, did we not have a discussion with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? And remember, we've had this many times, darn it. What was this discussion? A guy makes a shvua shochal kikar zohayom. Sometime today I'm going to eat this bread, and the day passes and he doesn't eat the bread. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that you do not get Malkus. The question is, why don't you get Malkus? So we said, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, I'm going to tell you in a loka. But the reasoning for why you don't get Malkus is a machlokus. Remember this wonderful machlokus we had again and again about Atrat Sofik or Lav Shein Bo Maaseh. So Rabbi Yochanan says you're not loka because it's a Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, and it's typical, like any other Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, meaning this is not the unique case where there is one case of a Lav Shein Bo Maaseh where you get Malkus by Shvua. This is not it. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying the Farish, this is not a case of Lav Shein Bo Maaseh where you get Malkus. Ain't looking alive. Reish Lakish says, no, that's not the reason. The reason that you don't get Malkus is because it's a Hatra'at Safek. How are you going to give the guy Hatra'at? You're going to say, you better not eat. What? I better not eat. You have some kind of problem? Is something that makes you say, I'm not going to eat? That you're warning me, I better not eat? Maybe I have every intent of eating. If you see me going about to do something wrong, and you're saying, no, don't do that. Now, what are you going to say? What makes you think I'm going to do it? The fact that you have a gun and your finger's on the trigger, you're about to pull it. But to say, don't not eat, that's Hatra'at Safek. Hatra'at Safek, Lav Shema Hatra'a, because maybe this minute I will eat. Therefore, concluded Rabbi Avu, there's only one explanation of what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to when he said Shvuat Shake, that he learns out from Shvuat Shav. And what would that be? Tehei b'achalti v'lo achalti. Where a guy makes a shvua about what happened. I did eat, I didn't eat. That's the question. Which makes it 100% clear that a libeder Rabbi Avu, there is no way to misinterpret Rabbi Yochanan's statement. He learns, liatid, what are you going to be over? Lo yachel devaro. L'sha'avar, what are you going to be over? Achalti v'lo achalti. Lo tishavu b'shmi l'shaker. To be mishanet hayidua, what will you be over? Lo tisa Hashem, Hashem elokech alashav. The opposite of Rav Dimi's approach in Rabbi Yochanan. So we have two approaches in Rabbi Yochanan. Hey, wait, just let me ask you something. Umayshna, you tell me, why is it that we're going to... Remember, we have now Shnayim Shein Arba, right? Okay, tell me, what are the cases? I won't eat and I do eat. For that you get Malkus. I will eat and you don't eat. For that you don't get Malkus. I did eat... Or I didn't eat, for that you get Malkus, because Lashav, you're being Marvin. Now wait. Say it the other way around. Say, the type of thing which is a commitment where I won't eat and you do eat, you get Malkus. So the additional Lashav teaches me, even if you said I will eat and you don't eat, you also get Malkus. So now we have one set of Shvuas La'atid that you do get Malkus on, even though it's a Lav Shein Bo Maaseh. But the other type of shvua, which is merely a discussion of the facts, I'll never get Malkus on, because there's always a Lav Shein Bo Maaseh. What makes you arbitrarily choose to use the additional lashav to add the second member of the future set of shvuas, as opposed to both members of the past set? Can you explain that to me? Why is that more logical? There were three possibilities, and you chose possibilities 3 and 4 instead of possibility 2. Why? Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. No, says the Gemara. It's not a rabbit at all. Amar Rava, beferish riptata rashva sheker to be l'shva shav. Look, the whole point over here, so if you're using the word shav to expand the meaning of the Malkus, So now obviously it has to be similar to Lashav, right? What are the cases of Shuah Sheker that is most similar to Lashav? The case of Lashavar. By the way, it is so similar that actually Rav Dimi made the mistake of saying that it's the same. And that the Shvuah Lashavar is Lashav and is not Lashaker. So how do you like that? If you thought Yitzchak Avinu had a problem with Esav, imagine the problem with identifying a Shvuah Sheker. Is it Shav or is it Sheker? Okay, so if you're going to say it's something, it's obviously the one that is closest, and the closest is the Shvuah Lashavar, which is very similar to Lashav. And therefore, Ba Shav Lashavar, Af Sheker Nami Lashavar. So now everything comes around. There's two approaches to Rabbi Yochanan. How can you claim that the relationship to Shvuah of Malkus, Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, you're talking about a Malkus of a Shvuah Sheker, and Shvuah Sheker is L'Sha'avar. Look at this. Shvuah Shalo Chal Kikarzo. Guy makes a Shvuah, I will not eat this bread. Then he makes another Shvuah. And I swear again, I will not eat this piece of bread. As a matter of fact, I swear again, I will not eat this piece of bread. He's not chayev on the additional shvuas. He's only chayev on the first shvuah. Because once it's asur, it's like any other. Ein isur chala lisur, ein shvuah chala al shvuah. And he can only make himself asur once. So ein ol chayev ela achat. Now look at the language of the Mishnah. And you tell me what these words mean. Zo hi shvuat bitui, shechayavin al zdona makot, ve'al shigigata, Korban Olevi Oreid, and this, and only this, is the model of a Shvuah's Bitui, which can lead you to a Chiev of Malkus and a Korban Olevi Oreid. Now you tell me what he's trying to say when he says this and only this. You tell me. Is it not Zoe, it's only this, Lamute Mai, and what not? Lav Lamuti Achalti Velo Achalti? Is it not that he's trying to tell you the Tana? Now don't make the mistake of thinking that a Shvuah L'Sha'avar, that you'd get Malkus on that. No way. You'd never get Malkus on that. That's what he seems to be saying. The Loloki. Now, the way Rabbi Avo is learning, that's dafka where you do get Malkus. That was his analysis in Rabbi Yochanan. So, Zigmar, well, why does that have to mean that? Why can't it mean, there's a lot of options here, as we're going to see. Why can't it mean that this is the only case of a Shvuas Bitui that you get Malkus on and your Chayav a Korban on, if you do it Peshogeg? But although you'd be chayav malchus on the shvuah l'sha'avar, but you won't be chayav a korban on the shvuah l'sha'avar. You're kidding, you won't? Does it not say in the Mishnah Shayim Shein Arba? Yes, but that's going a little bit of Rabbi Akiva, remember? That holds that we're being marba a shvuah l'sha'avar Shnayim Shein Arba. So what it's really coming to tell me is zuhi da'al shigirata korban olav yoreh. But achalti velo achalti, yes, you get malchus, but no, you don't get a korban olav yoreid. Lo, that's what he was coming. You took for granted that because your mind was all focused on the malchus, you took for granted that the Tana was focused on the malchus. But actually, the Tana, if you note, says this is the only case where you have both malchus and korban. Okay, but achalti velo achalti, a little bit of Rabbi Shmuel, does not have malchus for korban. It only has malchus, because he was never marbe, the shnayim shein arba. So there is no nishba l'shavar, alibri rishval, ha-ha. And therefore it means something totally different way. It has nothing to do with our discussion. V'rebi Shmoli, the Omar eno chayav, ela alatid lavo, you're only chayav on the future. That was referring to the din of the carbon all of the yoreid. There is no such carbon. But when it comes to malkut, yeah, why not? We just learned it out from l'shav, l'shav, shtei pa'amim, and l'shavar, dumi de l'shav, Sheker Dumirashav, which is Lashavar. Therefore, Milka Lucky. Now, wait a minute. Don't try giving me that kind of stuff. Look at the next words in the Mishnah. You'll see that can't possibly be correct. Because the Mishnah concludes with the example of Shvuat Shav. And it says, and what is a Shvuat Shav? A Shvuat Shav is to claim that an amud of stone is actually an amud of solid gold. You ain't fooling anybody, okay? And then it concludes with the words, and this is the model of a Shvuat Shav, Shechayavin al Zidona Makot, Ve'al Shigata Patur. Now, why do you mean this? This is opposed to what? Zoe, what not? Tell me where you're not Chayav on Zidona Makot. Lumutimai. I mean, the only thing that it could be mamayit is the other type of lashav, which is what? Lemuti achalti velo achalti. Ah, why is that? Because that's not the lashav in the pasuk. That's the different lav of lo tishavu bishmi lashaker. And it's a lav she'in bo ma'aseh. And therefore, you will not get malchus. Oh, my goodness. So in other words, we do not darshan lashav and say, lashav, lashav, shtei pa'amim, to include other types of shvuas l'sha'avar, namely shvuat shaker. Now this is beferish, not like your analysis of Rabbi Yochanan. Now you're in major trouble, because if you fix the ratio, you can't fix the seifa. Says the Gemara, sure I can. There's other alternatives in the Zohar. No, maybe. Maybe, in the same way, you've got the same malchus focus, you know? Maybe you were beat too much as a child. Maybe what you should be thinking about is the korban. Start focusing on the Beit HaMikdash. Maybe the whole thing that the Tana is referring to is korban-focused, okay? So the first part of the mission is there's a case where you don't bring a korban, not this case we don't get malchus. And the second part of the mission is saying there is a case where you do bring a korban, but not shvachav, where you don't bring a korban. That's what it means. So zohi da'ashigirata patur mikorban. But the equivalent case, achalti velo achalti, not only would you get malchus, as we just learned out from Rabbi Yochanan, but you would be chayav a korban. Of course, that would be true aliba to Rabbi Akiva. That was Rabbi Akiva who says, shnayim shein arba, and you're chayav a korban, lisha avar, the same as lehaba. Hey, wait a second here, hold on. You're trying to pull the wool over my eyes. You said a moment ago that it was going aliba to Rabbi Shmuel. That's the only way you worked out that the ratio wasn't a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. And now you're saying, actually it's Rabbi Akiva. So the Yosefa would only work out if it's not like Rabbi Shmuel. And there are Shnayim Shein Arba. Oh my goodness. Guys, if you can't see your way through this, you can't see your way through life. I mean, life is much more complicated. If you're going to give up just because it's stretching your mind a little bit to keep all the facts in place, you understand what kind of shallow choices you're going to be making about things that are nogea life and death every single day because you're just too lazy to use your brains. Engage. See? Abba's got the gear. You can actually literally see the gears. He just switched gears. There we go. You know? And when you stand up instead of sitting on that seat and you're pedaling for all your might, now you're engaged. So now, we've got a contradiction. Are you going to tell me that the Reish is Rabbi Yishmael and the Seifa now is Rabbi Akiva? Answers the Gemara, no. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to modify our original understanding in the Reish, and I'm going to find yet another possibility. You're saying Zohi because of your focus, okay? But Zohi could mean a lot of things. So you thought it meant Zohi, this is the case of your Chayav Malchus, but not Achalti V'lo Achalti. No, 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 I said first. Zui that you have a korban, but not a chalti v'lo a chalti, which is Rabbi Yishmael. How about if we do it this way? It's all Rabbi Akiva, and the reisha, sorry, I changed my mind, is not to be memayat a chalti v'lo a chalti from a korban. It's to be memayat ochal v'lo a chal from Malchus. Beautiful. See, you took for granted that it couldn't be referring to the other case of the future shvuas, because it says, this is the case where you're chayav malchus and the shugga, you're chayav a korban. But not the other case. You're thinking to yourself, oh, wait a minute, but the other case, you are chayav a korban. Hey, you are, but you're not chayav malchus. So maybe you were right the first time. Maybe in the ratio the Tana is focusing on malchus, and in the safe he's focusing on the korban. And therefore, we could say that as opposed to, this is the case of shvuas bitui, meaning la'atid, where you're chayav a korban, and you're chayav malchus because you did something with an action. You went ahead and ate when you swore to God you weren't going to eat. But how about the other case of the future, not a chalti v'lo a chalti? How about the other case where you swore that you would eat, and you didn't eat? Now how about that case? Now it's true that in that case you'd be chayav a korban, yes, but would you be chayav malchus? No. So this is the only case of shvuas bitui la'atid, where you would be chayav both korban and malchus, whereas the other case, of the Shvaz Biter Latid, you would be chayav only the Korban and not the Malkas. Why is that? Why are we being marbe? I mean, in the Mishnah, we're saying the Tana meant to exclude a Shvuat Bitui La'atid, but not to exclude the past? Why? Mishnah, why are we saying that that's what the Mishnah means to say? Very simple! What was the Tana referring to, for God's sake? He was referring to the case of a guy who said, I will not eat and ate. And then he says, and that's the only case. What do you think he's referring to? That's the only case. As opposed to somebody who buys pickles? That's the only case as opposed to somebody who swore about something in the past? That's irrelevant. That's the only case of the set, obviously, is what he's saying. So that's the only case of a Shvua Le'atid, where you'll be Chai of Malkus and Carbon. But the other member of that set, which is, I swear I will eat the chocolate cake, and he doesn't. That is not both Chai of Malkus and Chai of Carbon. It's only Chai of Carbon. But it can't be Chai of Malkus because it was a Lav Shem Bo Maaseh. So now everything fits just hunky-dory. So Mishna Mistavra, Chayim Bel Abba, if the Tana is talking about the set of Alaba, so obviously he is excluding members of that set. He's Mamayit Laba. You're telling me we're talking about set A, and then I start saying, and this is the only example of something else? That's a little bit ridiculous, isn't it? So Koy Laba, Mamayit L'Sha'avar, obviously he's got to be talking about this case. Now everything is perfect. I'm not just at random choosing, well, here he was referring to that, and there he's referring to this. It's perfectly consistent with the rules of simple logic. It really tears it out of you, this stuff, you know what I mean? It just tears it out of you. All right, continues now the wonderful mission. Shvua shelo ochal v'achal kol shu chayav. The last piece that we had is that Rabbi Akiva claimed, the moment you say a shvua shelo ochal, the slightest amount of achila is enough to be b'chayav you. To which the Rabbanan responded, whoever heard of such a thing? Doesn't Achil always mean a gezayit? And Rabbi Akiva responded with, so, and you think this is a typical case? A guy says a statement and gets now, he's chai of a korban on a statement? Now, how are we to interpret this conversation? Iboilo. Is it that Rabbi Akiva is actually in accordance with Rabbi Shimon's ruling? Remember that we discussed Rabbi Shimon before. And we understood that Rabbi Shimon, we had this back in Makkos, that Rabbi Shimon held that b'chol ha'tera kula, there is no shear of a kizayit when it comes to the fee of a malchus. So maybe that's where Rabbi Akiva holds. Ibad, Rabbi Akiva b'chol ha'tera kula, Rabbi Shimon Svirla, is it that Rabbi Akiva actually agrees with Rabbi Shimon all over the Torah, not only here, and Rabbi Shimon Shita is that you're chayiv in a mashu. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer kol shehu lamakot v'lo amru kizayit ela inyan korban. And then I'm sure that that would bother you a bit because you'd say to yourself, so why the heck would we bring the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva in the one case where it's uniquely possible that you're chayav for less than a kizayit, since we're dependent on the interpretation of your statement, as opposed to an objective isser. You'd say, if Rabbi Akiva wants to tell me that this is the din, surely Rabbi should have put Rabbi Akiva Shita somewhere where it wasn't nogei ha'shvua, because there'd be a bigger chiddush. No? Ah, no, you see. Bedinu deboi la flugi be'alma, you're right. It sure looks like we should have made this a universal question and not put it here. But you know why we wanted to put it over here? I'll tell you why. Because we want to know to what extreme the Rabbanim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon, to what extreme they would go. Perhaps they only disagree with Rabbi Shimon on objective isur. But when it comes to a subjectively created isur, where the guy himself said, I will not eat, maybe the Rabbanim would say, look, the Torah may have some kind of strange arbitrary definition of eating, referring to a kizayit. But we certainly would agree that in this particular case of a shvua, when a person says he won't eat, he means he won't ingest something. That's nothing to do with how much. It means he won't put the slightest amount of this material in his mouth and eat it. like one grain of corn to somebody who's allergic to corn. Right? So he says, I won't eat corn. He doesn't mean he won't eat corn. He means he's not going to put a piece of corn in his mouth. That's what he means. Therefore, I chose this particular case to say, the Rabbanim, they disagree everywhere, even here. Not only is the Torah's definition of eating a kezayit, so too is a shvuah's definition of eating a kezayit. Now that's a grand chidush. Maybe that's the meaning. So I'll see that inside. The reason we choose this as the location of the machloket is lodiach hakochan de rabbanan, to teach me how far the rabbanan are ready to go. The afagav dikalamim raholam afarish chayav stam nami chayav. We're going to see later on that Alibid Rabbanan, had the man openly said, I will not eat the slightest amount of corn, then he would have been usher in any amount. Even Rabbanan agreed to that. The question is, how do we understand a statement that doesn't say any amount? Do we understand that the meaning of the statement is a technical achila, which is a kezayit? Or, since that is what he could have meant that he said so, why not assume that that's what he meant when he didn't say so, and he just said, I won't eat? Kamash b'lan the Rabbanan go to extremes, and they say, look, even though you might have thought that's how to explain the language that this man used in making a shvuah, well, you'd be wrong. We disagree with Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, even in the case of shvuah. Certainly in other cases. Rabbi Akiva, though, may be talking about a universal halacha, that kezayit is never applicable to the issue of malchus. Whether we're talking about a diraita, we're talking about a subjectively created issur of a shvuah. O Dilma, or perhaps the way to understand Rabbi Akiva Shita, is that actually he himself generally agrees with the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Shimon. And he holds you do need a kezayit. So Baalmakar Rabbanan Tzvirale. And indeed, the only reason that he's saying in this particular case you don't need the kezayit is because this is a unique case. It's because, and since if the guy had openly said, I will not have even a single drop of this corn, he would have been chayav. So then satam, where he didn't say how much, he meant the same thing. He's also chayav. So I said, why are you asking this? Isn't it obvious from the language of the Mishnah what Rabbi Akiva held? Rabbi Akiva turns around and answers the Rabbanan by invoking exactly this issue, that this is a shvuah. So obviously this is a unique case. He himself says it's a unique case. Did you forget the Mishnah? Well, let me remind you. Amr lo Rabbi Akiva. Eichan matzinen baruch hakoshu shu chayev sheze chayev. Who ever heard of such a thing that a guy would eat? When I said that he wasn't a werewolf and that was obvious, I was lying. Ve'im ita. Now, and instead, what does he say? He says, well, and where did we ever hear that a guy could make a shvuah? What should he have said, huh? If he held that it's a universal, he should have said, gentlemen, I hold that all over your chayiv and less than a kezayit. Instead, he goes into this whole discussion about this being a unique case because it's a shvuah. How do you explain that? Ve'im ita. If you'd be correct in saying that he universally holds that, leimalu, all he needs to say is, Ana b'chola Torah kulak Rabbi Shimon svirali. I hold like Rabbi Shimon. Oh, come on, that's not a question. I mean, the most effective answer to the Rabbanan is l'divrayem the Rabbanan kamalohu. That is what he's saying. He's saying, look, guys, don't ask me a question when you know I don't subscribe to this whole sheet. L'didi b'chola Torah kula. I would have held anywhere. Don't ask me heichan matzino. B'chol makom matzino. I hold of Rabbi Shimon svirali. But I'm shocked that you disagree? I mean, at least, according to you, at least agree that in this case, it's a unique situation, that all of Mefaresh Chayav, Stam Nami Chayav, and even on that, the Rabbanan said, no, we disagree even in this case. Omer the Rabbanan, lo. There you go. Okay, so we have no proof from the language in the Mishnah. Let's see if we can prove it from elsewhere. Tashma, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Now, this is a very unique halacha. That's Nogea Nezirut, which is called Heter Mitztaref Isur. So the Torah says, Kom Mishrat Anavim. Soaked bread in wine is prohibited for a Nazir. Now the bread isn't prohibited, But since the Torah said soaked bread is prohibited, what that teaches us is that the bread itself becomes usur, not just the amount of wine in the bread, and therefore eating the kezayit between the bread and the wine is also sufficient to be mechayev you. Now, Rabbi Akiva is the one who says over there, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nazir shesharat pito b'yayin. If there's enough between the bread and the wine to add up to a kezayit, yesh b'latzarev kezayit chayav. If Rabbi Akiva doesn't even hold you need a kezayit, why does he talk about being metzarev a kezayit? So Yisak, be amak Rabbi Shmir and Shimon Tzvirle, if you're going to tell me that all over Rabbi Akiva is a Rabbi Shimon, why does he need to add up to a kezayit, huh? Lamali letzarev. Not to mention that there's another Mishnah, the Otnan, it does say right here, which we're coming to very soon, Shvua Shalo Ochal. A guy makes a shvua that he will not eat. And he goes ahead, he will not eat anything. He goes ahead and he eats nevelot, trefot, shkatzim, remashim, all the things that anyway he couldn't eat. He would be chayev on that shvua. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, he'd be potter. Now, we asked, why would he be chayev on a shvua if the rule is that ain't shvua chal al shvua? So once something is already usur, because you accept it on Har Sinai, that it would be usur, and committed yourself to that, which is sort of the ultimate shvua, how can you add a shvua about something that's already a shvua? So, v'abina v'amai chayav mushba mihar Sinai, who is this not already a shvua? And Rav, and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan, the Amri Tavayo, all agree that it's talking about bekolel dvorim ha-mutarim im dvorim ha-asurim. We're talking about over there that the guy said, I won't eat anything. So that means before he was only usur on things that the Torah said were usur. Now he's saying, I will not eat any animal matter, let's say he says. So then he's including kosher animal matter with non-kosher animal matter. That's called an isur kolel. So since the shvua is chal on the kosher animal matter, it's also chal on the non-kosher animal matter. Reish Lakish says, not so fast, gentlemen. That's not going to work. The only way that you would find a case where you're actually adding something would be in a case where you would be mefarshes. It's not because of kolel, because we'll see Reish Lakish later on holds. We don't say kolel with this shvua. It's rather because what you're doing is you are now being mechayev yourself on more, and that is a case where you didn't clearly say it, but you could be stam, and that would be true. I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds, when you make a shvua, you're asking yourself on a mashu. So before, this piece of chazir was not usur, because it was a half a kezayit. But the moment that you said, I will not eat chazir, according to Rabbi Akiva, even the half a kezayit is usur, right? Ha! If you alter the rabbanan, then the case would be that you said beferush, I will not eat even a half a shear. Fine. So even mefaresh, even a chatzi shear, v'alib l'rabbanan, that could be one case. Or you could say stam, alib l'Rabbi Akiva. Because according to him, adam oser atzmo b'chol shehu. So up until now, we've been talking about something that you were not mushpava omeid, mehar Sinai. Because on Har Sinai, you only accepted not to eat a kezayit. And now you're accepting not to eat even a half a kezayit. And now, but if all over, Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon, then this is a nonsensical statement. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, what are you saying? It's talking about that you added an additional isur by taking a shvua, and that shvua makes you usur on a half a kezayis. All isurim are usur on a half a kezayis, according to Rabbi Shimon. So it's clear that if you hold a little bit of Rabbi Akiva, it's uniquely in this case that Rabbi Akiva is adding the half a kezayis now, isn't it? And therefore, it's considered to be a shvua on something that was not usur at all. So then, kosher nami mushbavamim behar Sinai. Then any amount at all would be included in the isur of Har Sinai. El alav. Therefore, we are forced to conclude shmamina that actually, normally, in other cases other than shvua, Rabbi Akiva agrees with the rabbanan. The shir is a kezayit. And it's dafka here in Shvua, where since Hadi Beferish said, I mean less than a gezayit. Rabbi Akiva understands that to be the default position, where somebody says, I'm not going to eat. It's not the guy thinking I'm not going to eat some kind of technical achila defined by gezayit. He means I'm not putting corn into my mouth. And therefore, it's all over Karabban and Sfir Leishmamina, which is the second interpretation of Rabbi Akiva that was suggested. V'ibay Dema, kishem shemivi korban al sheker, kach mivi korban al shav, v'Rabbi Akiva yidem chayv l'shavar kishel haba. Meitle, ezo yishvat shav, nishba l'shanot et hayadu'a l'adam. And what is the shvat sheker? Nishba l'achalif. Well, we'll have to read that as Nishba Uma Khalif, because it's referring to the Atid. After all, the Avar is a Shvat Shav, the way we've understood. Kiyata Rav, and he said, no, it's exactly the opposite. Omer Rabbi Yirmi, Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Achalti, Velo Achalti is itself Sheker, not Shav. And the Liatid is only Lo Yachel Dvaro. V'azarate Biloti Shavu Bishmila Shaker. Ochal, or Lo Ochal, you're only over on Lo Yachel Dvaro. What is a Shvat Shav? That's Nishba L'shanot et hayadu'a ala Adam. Omer of Papa, you should know that it's not as if he actually said any of this beferush. Hoda Rabbi Abo, olav beferush itmar, elamichla la itmar. And it starts with the following. Omer of Yidibarovim, Omer of Amim, Rav Amram, Omer of Yitzchak, Omer of Yochanan, Rabbi Yuda, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The rule is that kol lo ta'aseh shebetorah, if it's a lav sheyesh bo ma'aseh lo kin alav, if it's a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh ein lo kin alav, except for three prominent exclusions. Nishba, meimer, and mekalel al chavero b'shem. And now, we started discussing, how do we know nishba as an exclusion to the rule minola? Om Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yishim, Bar Yochai, Om Rakol lo tisar shem Hashem lokech ala shav, ki lo yinake beitin beit chomalai menakin otor. But Beidin Shemata Malkinoto Menakinoto. As an aside now, in parenthetical comment here, Amalei Rav Papa Labai, how do you know that? Dioma Ochi Kam Rachman, lo yinake, at all. To which he answered, as a continuation of this parenthetical comment, in kitiv ki lo yinake, you'd be right, but Ashlechi lo yinake Hashem. It clearly means Hashemu de'ino menake. But Beidin Shemata Malkinoto Menakinoto, end of parenthetical comment, back to the discussion. Ashkan Shvat Shav. How do we know Shvat Sheker? Well, Rabbi Yochanan today, as opposed to the previous statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which was the name of Shimba Yochai, Omer, that I derive from the additional Lashav at the end of the Pasuk. Lashav, Lashav, Shtei Tepa'amim. Im Eino Inyan Shvat Shav. It's kind of referring to a Shvat Sheker. And Rabbi Avu, and this is the part that we're saying it's Michlola Itmar, Rabbi Avu sat down and was wondering, when you said Shua Sheker Echidami, did you mean Shua Shalo Ochal V'Achal? Obviously not. That's a Lav Sheyeshbo Ma'asehu. Did you mean Shua Shalochal V'Lo Achal, which is a Lav She'eno Ma'aseh, to teach me you get Malkus on that? That would be nice, except the reality is that you don't get Malkus. Miloke V'Itmar Shua Shalochal Kikarzu Ayom. The Avah Yom V'Loach, La Rabbi Yochanan himself, agrees with Reish Lakish, Tamrit Avayu, Ein Olokeh, but for different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ein Olokeh, Mishum Davi, Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, V'chol Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, Ein Lokin Olav, Reish Lakish Omer, Ein Olokeh, Mishum Davi, Atrat Safek, V'atrat Safek, Lav Shema Atra'ah. Now, it's Rabbi Abohu, and this is where we see that Rabbi Abohu concluded, Michlola, in Rabbi Yochanan, Tehe Biachalti Velo Achalti. And why include numbers 3 and 4 and not the other member of the Liatid set? Number 2. Umayshna Amarova, for the very simple reason that the Makar of the Drush is Lashav, so therefore Beferush Riptat Torah Shvat Sheker Dumya Lashav. Just like Shav is Lashavar, Sheker is also Lashavar. Eitve Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Abahu. Shvua shelo achal kikarzu. Shvua shelo achlena. Shvua shelo achlena. Ve'achla eno chayav al achat. Zoi shvat pitush chayav en azdona makot vashkat hakorban olu ve'orot. Ha-ha. So, zoi lemute mai. Lav lemute achalti velo achalti to lo lucky. No. Lemute achalti velo achalti. Yes. But not to lo lucky. But deino mevi korban. So, as we say, zoi dashkat hakorban olu ve'orot. But Akalti below Akalti, which would be the Arba of the Shnayim, lo. Because it's going according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that you're not Chayav a Korban Olav Yored unless it's on Atid Lavo Lahara Olaitiv. But Malkus? Yes, indeedy. I know the Malkus from Lashav Lashav Shtei Pa'amim. Okay. Then Ema Seifa. The case of Mishanet HaYadua LaAdam, Amut Shelev and Shur Shel Zahav, ends with the word Zoi Shvat Shav Shechayvin Azban HaMakot Vashigat HaBatur. Now tell me what that means. This as opposed to what? My love, Lamu'uti Achalti Velo Achalti. That you don't get Malkus on. No. This as opposed to Zoi Dashgat HaBatur be Korban. Achalti Velo Achalti. You'd be chayev even a korban in the case of the shkoga. Of course, that's only true a little bit. Rabbi Akiva, who holds such a chayev on shnayim shem arba, which comes to the shavar. Do me l'laba, right? Kilaba. Now, wait a second. A minute ago, you told me the reish is Rabbi Shmali. Now you're telling me the reish is Rabbi Shmali, the same as Rabbi Akiva? I'm changing my mind. Kula Rabbi Akiva. Reish, I was wrong. It's not to be mamayat achal to below achal to be korban. It's to Mamayat, the other member of the future set, Ochal Velo Achal, from Malkus. But in Achinami, not from Korban. Korban would be Chayev, even though it's a Lav Shem B'Maaseh. Why now? Why would you say that that's what the Tana was referring to? Well, obviously. Mistavra, Korib Elabo, Mamayat Labo. But he's saying, it's Korib Elabo, but he's bringing in some other issue. So he's Mamayat L'Shavar. Shua Shelo Ochal Velo Achal Kol Shehu Chayev. Yiboyim. Is it that Rabbi Akiva b'chol haTorah kula holds Rabbi Shimon b'chayav b'mashu? Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer kol shulam akod. The word kizayit is never mentioned in that halacha l'mashmi Sinai except l'inyan korban. Truth is b'dinu d'bay iflugi b'alma. The only reason we're iflug acha is lo diach hakocha d'rabbanan. The afa gav dika l'meim raholim afarish chayav. Even stam would also be chayav. Gamash Mahon, that even in this case we potter. Or perhaps the way to understand Rabbi Akiva is that this is a unique case. And Dilma Bialmi agrees with the Rabbanan to argue on Rabbi Shimon. We understand the Stam to be the equivalent of the Mefarish. Well, look in the Mishnah, Tashma. They could say to Rabbi Akiva, Eichan Matzino Ocho Koshu Chayab, Shizeh Chayab. If this is universal, all he needs to do is to respond, Leim Alohu. Well, Anna Bakolatar Kulak Rabbi Shimon Svirli. No, I mean, he's talking the Divrei Drabban and Komarlo. He's basically saying that, maybe. Maybe what he means to say is, look, guys, Lididi, Bakolatar Kulak Rabbi Shimon Svirli. But I mean, I'm shocked at you, Liditchu. I mean, at least agree in this unique case that all Mefaresh Chayav Satam Nami Chayav, to which the Rabbanan say, no, even in this case we disagree. So we can't bring a proof from there. Okay. Tashma. Rabbi Akiva Omer Nazir Shesharap Ito Beyayin V'yesh Pelet Sarif Kizayin Chayav. He sagged back to Baalmek Rabbi Shimon Svirle. What does he need to be Betzarif Kizayin for? Not to mention the fact that Tanan Shvua Shelo Ochal V'Achal Nevilot V'Trefot Shketzim V'Rimashim Chayav, whereas Rabbi Shimon is Poter V'Abino Ba'amai Chayav Izidah Mushpa Mihar Sinai. And Rabbi Yochanan, according to, along with Rabban Shmuel, says that we're talking about kol dvarim mutar midvarim asuri. Reish Lakish says that no, that won't do it for you. It's only iata motze el ibim mefarish chatzis shiur alibid rabbanan, which gives you now an isra on something that was previously mutar, or it could be stam, but that would be going alibid Rabbi Akiva, who holds adam asratzmo b'choshu. Now look. If Rabbi Akiva all over holds like Rabbi Shimon, so then he was always Mushbava or made even on a kosher. So how would that help? But Rish Lakish is saying, I'll leave it Rabbi Akiva. And that this case, in adding a shvua, he answers himself on a kosher. Kosher was always awesome. And love Shmamina, the Alma, Rabbi Akiva's Karabonitz, really. Shmamina, indeed, that is the case. And this is unique because it's shvua.